And I'm really glad that I didn't give up. I had to keep pushing, I had to keep learning. And I would encourage any writers out there, if you have a story in your heart that wants to come out, don't give up on it. Keep working at it, keep crafting it, keep getting the technical issues of writing a story together until the story that's in your heart makes it to the page.
We'll talk about this and much more today. Welcome to A Writer's Day Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to A Writer's Day Podcast. My name is Ruth Douthit, and I'm a multi-published award-winning author, and I'm so glad you're here today. I know you have a choice as to which podcasts you want to listen to, so I'm honored that you have chosen to spend some time with me. And I think you're really going to like today's episode because I'll be talking with Stefina McGee about her new book, The Secrets of Emberwild. And if you haven't had a chance to see the cover of this book, it is beautiful. So I'm glad that you're joining me today. And we are already in December. Can you believe it? I still have a few interviews of authors to go to finish out the year. But I just can't believe how quickly this year has gone. And I have been so honored and privileged to have interviewed amazing authors with more author interviews to come next year, including some nonfiction authors. So that's going to be fun as nonfiction is really taking off in the publishing industry. So be on the lookout for that. And also to learn more about me, please visit my website to sign up for my newsletter, where you will receive a free PDF copy of my book, Dragon Games, and learn more about my newest releases. I'll have exciting news coming up for next year's book projects that I'm working on, including more coloring books. I was so honored to have many book signing events this year at book festivals and Christmas festivals and at Barnes & Noble bookstores that I look forward to more signing events next year. And also join my Facebook group of Dragons, Dreams, and Faraway Places, where I post about fantasy books, fantasy art, and where I will be hosting more live events next year, where you will get to see me create dragon art live and ask me questions about my art and books, and even get to hear from other authors of fantasy fiction. But the best part is you will be able to win free books and free copies of my artwork. Like Tiffany did, she won the original dragon drawing that I did at my last live event. So be sure to find my group on Facebook of Dragons, Dreams, and Faraway Places. Join the group so you will be in the know as to when the next live Facebook event will happen, where you can win free books and free original dragon art. Go to my website at artbyruth.com for more information about me, to sign up for my newsletter, and to receive a free PDF copy of my book, Dragon Games. She is a master of writing Southern charm with historic detail. Stefina McGee is the award-winning author of many stories of faith, hope, and healing set in the Deep South, including her new book, The Secrets of Emberwild. So you know the drill. Grab your favorite beverage, a comfortable chair, kick back and relax as we listen to Stefina McGee talk about her new book. Hi, everyone, and welcome to A Writer's Day Podcast. I'm happy to have you here today because we are going to listen to Stefina McGee talk about her new book, The Secrets of Emberwild, and it's a horse book. It has a horse on the cover, and that's what drew me to it. I don't know about you, Stefina, but I am always drawn to the cover of a book. Are you?
Oh, absolutely. Great cover art is that beacon that you see in the store that you're just drawn to.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to A Writer's Day Podcast.
Thank you. I am glad to be here.
Well, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we can talk about this amazing book.
Okay, I am Stefina McGee. I like to write stories set in the South. Most of my books are historical. I also have some contemporary and some time travel. And I'm a lover of all things history, of sweet tea and rocking chairs on the front porch and spending my time reading.
So you are from Mississippi. That's considered the Deep South.
Yes, the deep, deep South.
Ooh, what was it like growing up there?
Well, I was born in Mississippi, and then my mother was in the military, so we moved around a whole lot during my school years. And then I came back here, went to college, got married, and I've been here ever since.
Wow, that's great. We briefly lived in North Carolina when my husband was in the Marine Corps, and we're both born and raised in Arizona, so we're desert rats. And so when I was transplanted out there, I fell in love with it. That's not the Deep South, but it's still the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved the history of the area.
Very charming. A lot of pretty architecture. Those trees that droop with the moss that are so pretty.
That's a good word, charming. I did find that too, as well, in North Carolina. So were you always interested in writing since you were a little girl, or...
My mother has a copy of my very first story. It was about a pig in a wig, and I had written this story from my first grade spelling list. So, I think I've always had that seed of being a writer in my heart. So,
were you encouraged by any teachers?
Not for writing, no.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. But it was your mom who lit the spark, huh?
Yeah, my mom always encouraged me, and she would take me to the library, and I would take, you remember those old paper grocery sacks?
Mm-hmm.
I would take two of them, and I would fill them up and get as many books as I possibly could, because she would only bring me every 2 weeks when the books were due back, so I'd stuff as many of them in there as I could. But she was always great about taking me to the library.
I love that. I was a big fan of the libraries too. And so when I became a mom, I made sure my son was at the library as much as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's neat. And so what kind of books did you bring home? Fiction or nonfiction or both?
Mostly fiction. And I read everything. I mean, I remember being a fifth grader carrying around Jane Eyre. But I loved Gilbert Morris had this series that was The House of Winslow, and it started with somebody who came over on the Mayflower, and then it was a generational story, like all the way through history of this one family. And so it went through each time period, and I thought that was super cool, and I read every one of those.
That is an interesting premise. So now here we are in 2022, and you have a beautiful new book out, The Secrets of Emberwild. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
This story is about a woman who inherits a struggling horse farm and a dangerous secret. She wants to train her horse to be a racehorse, but then a cowboy arrives seeking answers to a mystery of his own, and their worlds collide.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. It's got a little bit of mystery there, and of course romance.
Yeah, a little bit of mystery, a little bit of romance.
Yeah. Where did you get the inspiration for this setting and everything, situation?
I actually have a degree in animal science with concentration in equine, and I was a horse trainer for a while. So I was able to take a lot of my natural horsemanship methods and the gentling of horses that I used, and was able to use that as a profession for a character, which I thought was super fun. And it gave me an opportunity to kind of put some of my own stories of things that happened during training for her to encounter. And it was a fun thing for me to get to do.
Now, this is set, though, in the early 1900s. So what obstacles would be in Nora's place back then as a horse trainer?
Well, during this time, women were not supposed to be training horses, and they definitely were not supposed to be racing them. And Nora is constantly getting in trouble for things like she shouldn't be wearing pants. But she's like, "Do you know how hard it is to train a horse with all this stuff wrapped around your legs?" And so she's kind of bucking her culture and her time, but she's very passionate about what she wants to do.
Things that we women in this century have no idea what was like, huh?
Yeah, they had a lot to fight against.
Ooh, the struggle was real. So, how did any of your personal experiences, though, affect this story?
I had a little horse of my own. I helped usher her into the world, and
Oh.
we had a really good bond, and she was really funny. She had her own personality. She would do things like, "I'm okay. We're going to teach you how to wear this horse blanket because it's cold outside." And she'd be like, "No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to prance around instead." And so things like that, I kind of incorporated into Arrow and his personality and the quirks of their relationship between horse and rider, and was able to use that as inspiration.
It's a special bond, isn't it? Do you still have horses or?
I don't. Found out that I have degenerative discs in my back, and I had been down. I couldn't walk for like 2 months, and I'd gone to the spine doctor, and he said, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And I said, "I train horses." And he looked at me with this really sad smile, and he says, "Well, not anymore, you don't." And I was like, then what am I supposed to do?"
Oh, that's tragic. And so, how have you been coping? What have you been trying to do to replace that?
Well, I discovered that God had a plan all along, and I think I was really supposed to be a writer. It was a passion I'd always had, but kind of, swept away as a hobby. And right about that time, I also had my children, and so I focused on having little ones, and I started learning the craft of writing. I took classes, I had a mentor, and I really focused on learning how to craft a good novel. And I spent a lot of time doing that. And so when we sold the farm and we moved and those things transitioned out, there was a new door open and a new path. And I think all of that worked out very well.
That's remarkable. I love that. That's a very hope-filled story. Wow. And Nora, your character, it seems like the themes in your story are determination, strength, and faith. And
Yes.
that seemed to have also been your personal story as well.
Yeah, I really wanted Nora to be a determined person. She has a lot to fight against. And, for her things to fight against were different than mine and probably a lot different than the readers. But I'm hoping that they will see a little bit of themselves in her, see that, she can learn to persevere and push through things by relying on her strength and her faith to get her there.
That's beautiful. Now, what is it you love about setting your stories in the Deep South?
Well, it's an interesting place down here. The pace is a little slower. We have a lot of rural areas. There's that neighborly feeling of sitting on the front porch, having potlucks and sipping sweet tea, and we have all these quirky little sayings, bless your heart. And so I've always loved that. And the southern cooking, which always seems to find its way into my books.
But that's great because your readers get a taste, they can smell it almost as well as taste it and picture it in their heads. That's great, though. You're creating that ambiance for the reader. That's so true, though, about the South, that charm, that slowing down. And just, I used to love it because out here in Phoenix, you can drive for 30 minutes and you're still in Phoenix. But out there in North Carolina, when we would drive for 30 minutes, we had passed through about a dozen towns. And I thought, how remarkable is that? And we'd see the little churches with the little cemeteries. And in the fall, of course, smell the leaves burning. And it was, like you said, charming. And it made me want to slow down, and just take a look around and enjoy the festivals and the parades and everything. So things we just don't get in the big city.
Yeah, there's a lot of cute little things. Like you said, those little festivals. Oh, I love those where people come and they set up their booths and they have their handmade stuff that they do. And you just walk around and visit with your neighbors and look at little things. And it's just quiet kind of life. And it's something I enjoy.
I could see why you'd want to set a story in the deep south. So, happily ever after seems to be what a lot of readers expect from these types of stories. But do you always have a happily ever after ending in your novels?
In a way, I think that like life, things don't always work out the way that my characters think that they should. Sometimes God has a different plan than what they had a plan for. But there's always that happy ending in the sense that things work out in a way that they should, even if it's not necessarily what they wanted it to be.
Definitely a powerful life lesson. And speaking of which, the writing craft, the writing business doesn't always have a happily ever after, does it?
Yeah, there's a lot that you have to deal with rejection letters and mean reviews and all of those things that can touch a writer's tender heart.
That's true. How might you encourage a listener out there who is struggling, to keep going? He or she might have a story they're working on and has maybe hit a roadblock. How would you encourage someone if they were in front of you dealing with this?
Well, it might sound a little cliche, but I have to tell you, don't give up. I had a Facebook memory come up a couple of months ago. That was from, I think, 8 or 9 years ago. And I had posted, I'm just done with this. I keep trying. I'm not getting anywhere. My stories never seem to be good enough. Nobody ever seems to like them. Like, I had this whole thing that I think I'm just done. I'm not even going to try anymore. And I'm really glad that I didn't give up. I had to keep pushing. I had to keep learning. And I would encourage any writers out there, if you have a story in your heart that wants to come out, don't give up on it. Keep working at it, keep crafting it, keep getting the technical issues of writing a story together until the story that's in your heart makes it to the page.
Oh, sage advice indeed. It can be difficult because the world today, we're in that microwave age where we expect things immediately. And did you find that once you landed that contract and, sold a book to the publisher, there's still a waiting period, isn't there? Your book wasn't released 3 months later, was it?
Oh no. Oh my goodness. I signed the contract for this book in I think May of 2020. So, it was a long process. It was a year before the manuscript was due, and then it was another year before it came out. So, it's a long thing. And I think before that, I had started talking to my now editor, almost 3 years before we even made it to the contract point. So
It requires a lot of patience, doesn't it?
it does. So you just keep working on projects, keep writing, keep doing things in the meantime, and understand that it does take a long time.
That's true. It's a kind of a hurry up and wait thing.
Yeah, it's hurry up when you have a deadline and then wait when you're waiting for it to come out.
How did you handle when the editor or the publisher asked you to make some changes? How did that feel?
I actually really appreciate my editors because they find things in there and they're like, you were supposed to be making this turn and we were going to the left, and then she sees this over here on her right, and that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, oh wow, yeah, I didn't see that. Thanks. And they'll find, did they use this word in 1905? No, they didn't. Thank you. And so they're very helpful. I really appreciate the thought that they put into it in helping me develop and craft a much better story than I think I would have had by myself.
Yes, that first draft isn't the greatest draft, is
No, it's not. There'll be
it?
whole chapters they're like, is this necessary? What are we doing here? I don't know. We need to be doing something.
And that is true. You need another set of eyes because you've been staring at it for so long and you think it looks a certain way, but that other set of eyes comes in and sees things that you may have missed.
Oh yeah, and like I'll have changed something. I decided, somewhere at one point in the book that, oh, we're going to change this thread a little bit. And then, well, then I have forgotten that. And so they're able to see, hey, this doesn't match up with this. And I'm like, oh yeah, I had changed that and I forgot about it. But I've read it so many times that it just goes right through my brain.
Yes. So it's a lot of letting, being willing to let go and listen. And it's always a learning process, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I'm still learning. I've been writing for I guess 10 years now,
Wow.
and I'm still learning new things that people will point out and the editors will show me, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna work on that. And so it's always something new to hone the craft, something to work on and learn about, and different processes and things you can learn to do, different things that work for different writers. So there's always something new to learn.
That's true. We should always be teachable and willing to learn. We none of us have made it, right?
Right. Yeah. No, we don't have all of it.
Well, Stefina McGee, thank you so much for your willingness to meet with me today and talk about your new book, The Secrets of Emberwald, and a little bit about your writing process and your writing journey.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being here. It was a lot of fun.
And for those of you interested to learn more about Stefina, you can visit her website at stefinamckee.com. She's also on Facebook and Instagram. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wasn't that fascinating listening to Stefina talk about her life, her writing journey, and her new book? I know I can hardly wait to pick up my copy. It's available right now. And to learn more about Stefina, you can visit her website at stefinamckee.com, and she's also on social media. Again, I thank you for listening to my podcast. I know you have many choices of podcasts to listen to, so I'm honored that you chose to spend time with me today. And I hope that you've been blessed and encouraged by listening to Stefina and her story. Remember, keep going forward on this writing journey. During the good times and the bad times, write something every day. Keep going forward one step at a time. And until next time, God bless.